bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to our program, Finding God in Prison, with your host, Joe Montone. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air once again at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. I want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their support of our program and for Frank Eliason for producing our show. Okay, my friends, today we're going to be talking about getting results in life, which is so important. And you know, our program is dedicated to the incarcerated and to people in transition from addiction back to normal life. And so, WINGS stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth and Success. And we want to be growing in life. We want to be growing and we don't want to be stagnating or regressing. So this is important because today we're going to be focusing on getting good results. And to do that, you really have to have a pathway into the future. You've got to have some short-term and long-term goals. And this applies to all industries. I know from working in the field of aviation, when a crew is going to depart an airport, they have a navigation plan from point A to point B with check marks along the route. They have checkpoints that they have to hit. And if they don't hit them, it's going to be a much longer flight. If they get lost, it's going to be a longer flight. They're going to use more fuel. So our job in life is to really get from point A to point B as expeditiously as we can. And in project management and working with different projects, we want to really apply the same philosophy so that we can save money, save time, and experience the joys of completing a project. And so way back when we had a project over in Trenton, New Jersey, a 12-story high-rise in which we were rebuilding 132 apartments. And we had 13 months to complete the project. We had 18 men working in the project. All of the laborers were men from prison facilities in New Jersey. And basically, they were supporting the carpenters. So this project, in which we had 13 months, required a lot of planning and preparation. And we would lay out the ceiling tracks and the ground tracks and then do the corridors first and then the apartments. But we would have a real, focus on moving forward because we had deadlines of leaving the building. And every month we would basically move up to the next floor, as this was a 12-story high-rise. It was a rehab project, a 90-year-old building. And all of the guys were motivated, and we really conducted the WINGS program on the job. But I just tell you, we had to measure progress every day. And it's very important to do that so that we don't waste valuable time. And we're accountable to the time, the materials, the man hours that we allocated for the job. But I tell you, in 13 months, we did get the job completed. And we had put in there roughly 18,000 pieces of sheetrock. And this was an amazing project, you know. And at the end of the project, we sat around and we talked with the guys who did all the labor work and thanked them for their help, because without them, we would be unable to complete the project. And so it was a lot of gratification when you do a great job and you are focused. And I just tell you that just like in aviation, when you get you to your destination airport, it's a good feeling versus, getting lost. And there have been crews who have landed at the wrong airports, landed in the wrong countries. There have been all kinds of mishaps, you know, where we're making mistakes, you know, in the field of rehabbing buildings. One of the things we had to make sure is that the walls themselves were not closed up until the city inspector took a look at the interior work that was done on electrical and plumbing and sprinkler work. And once it was inspected, then they can put the sheetrock up and tape it and then paint it. But measuring progress is the key, and finding, you know, that you're getting good results. And just tell you, most projects, you have penalties for not meeting your deadlines because, for instance, in this rehab project where we had 132 apartments to be rented, and we had to be out of the building approximately February 1st of that year. And if we're not out and we take more time to do the job, the owner of the building would be unable to rent the apartments, and that rental income is going to be a problem. So there would be a penalty for that. Conversely, if you can get out of the building early and get the job done earlier, you're open to bonuses. And so that's available as well. But getting good results is always part of the equation when you're working on any kind of project management opportunity or any flight from point A to point B. I know in aviation this is really critical so that we don't end up bringing the passengers to the wrong airport or not getting to our destination. And so I just want to remind everybody out there that if you are creating a plan of action for the future with both short-term and long-term goals, we want to make sure that we define these goals, we make them realistic, and as we achieve each goal, we want to set some new goals to replace them and keep moving ourselves forward. Again, because this program is really geared for people in transition, people with depression, anxiety, fears, people who are coming home from prison, people who are completing rehab work in a rehabilitation center or a detox center, people struggling with addiction to alcohol or drugs. And so we want to, you know, look at the results as being very important. I know in the field of addiction, it's like an 83% failure rate where people don't get good results, and mainly because they're not putting enough into the program, enough of themselves. The effort they put forth is weak. It's got to be stepped up. And truly, God calls us to do better because it's your life. And we want people to get their lives back in order. And one of the ways we can do that is incorporating, you know, God's word and God himself through prayer into the actual process. And so with that, we should be able to get much greater results, getting our lives back in order as soon as possible. So we're talking about, you know, if you're getting good results in the area of addiction, you're talking about more quality time with your family, more quality time in life to enjoy life versus being, you know, under the influence of drugs who are controlling your life. Or if we're talking about incarceration, you know, getting good results requires change and change of habits, more discipline, listening to what people are telling you to do in the criminal justice system and trying to get your life in order. This could save you years of your life, and it's important. I know in doing the WINGS program, one of the benefits we've had is getting men home early, getting reductions in time or sentencing, reductions in bail, reductions in time in their lives is critical. I know in going to court for some of our men, I remember a gentleman who was facing third degree, and the judge really you know, paid some compliments to the WINGS program because he had done well and he had graduated from the WINGS program. And in this situation, he was facing third degree, and the judge said, you know, normally I would give 18 to 22 years to someone in this category. He said to him, but you only have a DUI in your past, and your family's in the courtroom. And you've done very well in the Wings program here for the last couple of months, a program which we value. And so today I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to give you 4 to 8 years. And he basically had already served 2.5 years. He did another year and a half upstate and then came home after a total of 4 years. So those were the results that we received from the judge because we made the effort of doing 10 weeks and 50 hours and 20 sessions and writing assignments and basically made a commitment to change and to not being involved in homicide or other things that this gentleman was involved with his brother. So, you know, we're very focused on results and how to get them. In another situation, we had a gentleman in our class over at the House of Corrections who went to court, and we had prepared him to go to court, and the judge said, you know, Anthony, he said, in this case, you should really get 13 years. He said, but since you did so well in the Wings program and you have no infractions inside this facility, no blemishes, I'm going to give you a break today. I'm going to give you 23 months. Credit for time served. You'll be home in 6 months. He said, but if I see you again in this courtroom, I'm going to give you the 13 years. And so this is where, you know, we had a beautiful blessing from the Lord for Anthony, and we saved him literally years of his life incarcerated, brought him home early. And the rest is up to Anthony to make that right decision on the outside, to make no mistake, to not regress and to not stagnate, but to be growing, like we say in the Wings program, which is so critical. And this is important, my friends, because once again, the results that we start out to achieve, we were able to, you know, obtain. And it directly impacted this gentleman's life. And so I want you, as you listen to the program, to take some notes, write some things down, and to apply them to whatever situation that you're going through, whether it be addiction to alcohol or drugs or incarceration. If you're on the inside of prison walls right now, take some notes and listen and get started on setting some short-term and long-term goals and focusing on the results. Where is it in your life that you would like to get better results? Is it in your relationship with God? Is it in yourself, spiritually, mentally, physically, educationally, financially, residentially? Where is it that you want to improve? Because that is the focus of what you need to do today and to begin setting those short-term and long-term goals. And set no goal unless it has a date of completion so that we can move forward, you know, and see real progress. We can measure progress. We don't want to just write down dreams without dates of completion because they may never come to fruition. And our goal is to make this reality happen. And so right now we're actually working with a gentleman at one of the facilities upstate who is in inside for 6 years for a felony conviction. And we are preparing him to come home by doing a Wings program via teleconference. And basically, we finished 2 sessions and we have 18 to go. And we're moving forward to prepare for a letter for the parole board. And when we do that, the parole board will have a complete history of the program we delivered to this gentleman, including every topic of discussion, including the time and the goals that this gentleman, you know, has prepared in preparation for his homecoming. And he has children and he has family. So it's up to us to help him to get the great results that he's looking for. But he has to do his part. You know, in aviation and pilot training, as an instructor for 39 years, I always told the student, you know, on any level, airline, corporate aviation, general aviation, that I'm going to give you 100%, but you too have to give me 100%, and together we'll get through the program. It's not that I'm going to give you 100%, you're going to give me 50%, because that's not going to work out. You've got to come up to speed and to do your part. And that's very important when you are working from a deficit, okay? And we see, once again, you know, a very, very poor success rate, poor results in the area of addiction, because people are not giving 100%. They've got to give more. Very often people want to take the easy road out. There is no easy road out. If you have years of addiction, it's going to take you years to get clean and sober and to get out of that. Same thing with incarceration. You may want to come home today, but you've got time to serve. And when you come home, you may be on parole or probation. And you've got to do the right thing for parole and probation so that you don't end up, you know, regressing and going back inside and serving more time, which sometimes happens because of a parole violation. And so our job is to get the best results that we can by being smart, being prepared, and putting in 100% effort to everything that we're doing. Now, one of the other areas we want to talk about today is anger. We've had many men in our program who are dealing with anger and fear. And you know, even the Lord gets angry. In the Word of God, it says that the divine anger only lasts but a moment. And divine anger only lasts a moment. And that's the way we want to look at anger. We all get angry, but we want to be in the Lord's graces forever. Because the Lord is a generous and giving God for life. And although he gets angry for a moment, the change takes place, and the Lord will be with us on the good side. You know, divine favor lasts a lifetime. And that's where we want to be. We don't want to live in what we call anger in a 168, or live in frustration every day, the acronym LIFE, living in frustration every day, and then getting angry. Because, you know, we want to make that change. One of the great goals we have is to get peace in our lives. But people don't start out as angry people. They're not born angry. And they sometimes have problems. And they don't solve the problems. They just accumulate them. And they live in frustration every day because of them. So we want to be problem solvers. And we want to get rid of these problems so we don't end up taking that frustration and changing it into anger, and then, you know, showing other people that we're angry, you know, here and there in daily life. Our goal is to be peaceful. So if you're living with anger in the 168, which is the total time available in the week, 168 hours of total time, then we've got to change that. And the goal is to, you know, to get peaceful again. And sometimes people can steal your peace, but we want to, you know, think about how we deal with those situations that make us angry. There's a book many years ago that was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And when we want to be careful about small things that make us angry. Can we walk away? Can we eliminate the stress? Can we change the picture and get the peace back swiftly? And keep it all in perspective. You know, there are small problems and there are big problems. Right now, as a good friend of mine whose wife is dealing with breast cancer for the second time, and she's debating on whether or not to have a second mastectomy, or to have chemotherapy or radiation. And those are the choices. These are big problems. And, you know, decisions have to be made for the health of this young lady. And I just tell you that in life there are a lot of small problems, small issues. And when we have these big problems come up, you can put it all in perspective and see that those other little things didn't mean a thing. They really didn't. I have another friend of mine who's now undergoing radiation for a prostate cancer at 60 years old. And he's challenged with this. And so some of the smaller issues, smaller problems are not even talked about that may be going on or was going on a month ago or a few months ago, because now his health is in jeopardy and it's a crisis. But we've got to, you know, put it all at the foot of the cross, give it all up to the Lord and ask him to help us through these difficult times. But I just tell you, we cannot live 7 days a week as angry people, because when I visit my mother, I'm going to bring her anger. When I visit my neighbors, I bring her anger, bring them anger. I want to bring peace to other people. And so we want to change that anger into peace once again. Does that make sense? So if you're living with anger every day, we've got to make some changes. We've got to become problem solvers and to eliminate some of the things that make us frustrated and angry and get rid of them. Take them off the table and get peace once again. The other thing we want to talk about is depression, which I've been talking about for 20 years. This is, you know, very, very prominent today, and people are saying that maybe in the year 2030, 2040, that depression will be the number one killer in the world. So our goal is to not be, you know, suffering from depression, either mild, moderate, or severe. And severe, of course, you know, is where people are suicidal. They're in a hopelessness state. So our job is to counter depression by feeding ourselves in a positive way, mentally, physically, and spiritually every day, and remaining in balance and keeping life simple, but feeding ourselves mentally in positive ways. What kind of things are you doing each day to counter depression? Because a lot of people who are retired are actually you know, in like a mild depression because there's not a lot going on. So it's up to us to put activities in our week so that we can enjoy those activities. Things that we like to do or love to do, either family related, community service related, sports related, prayer related, all things to spend time doing that will develop us a positive attitude and help to move us forward one day at a time with a more peaceful, joyful approach to daily life versus, once again, living in depression, which is so important. But in the WINGS program, we encourage people to look at their daily plan and to prepare for the week and to engage in positive activities that you enjoy. It could be educational courses, could be sports, community service, once again, related to the church, family time, work. It's all important. And our state in life can change from time to time. We just don't know, you know, where we're going to be 1 year from today or 10 years from today. So it's important that we, you know, embrace this philosophy to enjoy the time that God gives us, because we never know when we're going to be called home. And that's one appointment that we cannot miss. The last thing we want to talk about is anxiety. And anxiety and depression, you know, kind of go together. But, you know, there's a great program out there called the Midwest Center for Anxiety and Depression. And one of the great challenges to moving people forward in life is anxiety. Sometimes people are stuck because they're either depressed or they're suffering from anxiety. And this is going on for years. They may even be going to counseling, but for some reason, they're still unable to move forward. So in dealing with anxiety, once again, we want to, you know, do the very best that we can. And one of the great techniques that they use in this program is this. When you're suffering from anxiety and you're actually in it right now, the phraseology is this. It's okay. It's only anxiety. It's okay. It's only anxiety. I can do this. I will do this. I'm strong enough to get through it. It's all positive self-talk versus negative self-talk, which kind of, you know, will keep you in a very bad situation. So we want to counter your anxious feelings with positive self-talk, building up confidence and strong feelings that you will do it. You can do it. God is with you, and with God, all things are possible. And we want to really bring it to the foot of the cross once again so that God will help us through these feelings that will hold us back, hold us from moving forward or growing, keeping us in a stagnation kind of a point or regressing. Once again, you know, the WING stands for winning ideas, nurturing growth, and success. So we want to be growing in our mental, physical, and spiritual life. And specifically here, we're talking about the mind, which is suffering from anxiety or depression within a person. We want to do whatever we can to bring the peace once again. And when I have that peace, I can bring it to you. If you have that peace, you can bring it to your children, to your parents, to other parishioners at the church, your co-workers at work. This is very important that we see how we can once again eliminate the problem of anxiety or depression and counter it. These are self-help techniques that we've really done well with in the WINGS program. And in the last 9 to 10 years, we've worked with close to 1,800 men who were incarcerated, and hundreds who were in recovery homes. So I'll just tell you, we've had a lot of success, close to 80% in the WINGS program. And, you know, you're not going to get everybody, because sometimes, you know, things will be just beyond fixable. And we've had 10 people overdose due to fentanyl and crack cocaine, methamphetamine. And this is part of the challenge we have today. But my friends, we're just coming up on our time. So that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed listening. And my friends, do whatever you can to prepare for this week. And thank you once again for listening to Finding God in Prison and Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great day, and God bless. Take good care.